Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is
as I lay me down to sleep, I hear her speak to me. Hello, Mari, how you doing? I think the storm and the rain, the clouds are moving. I know you're happy, 'cause I can see it. So tell the voice inside your head to believe it. I talked to God about you. He said he sent you an angel. And look at all that he gave you. Yes, for one and you got to. You know I never left you. Every road that leads to heaven's right inside you. So I can say, hello, my only one. Just like the morning sun, you keep on rising till the sky knows your name. Hello, my only one. Remember who you are. No, you're not perfect, but you're not your mistakes. Remember I'd say, hey, hey, one day you'll be the man you always knew you could be. And if you knew how proud I was, you'd never shed a tear, have a fear. No, you wouldn't do that. And no, I didn't pick the day to turn the page. I know it's not the end every time I see her face. And I hear you say, hello, my only one. Remember, you got no brothers, you got love in your hands, and you're still my chosen one. So can you understand, one day you'll understand. So hear me out, hear me out. I won't go, I won't go. No goodbyes, no goodbyes. Just hello, just hello. And when you cry, I will cry. And when you smile, I will smile. And next time when I look in your eyes, we'll have wings and we'll fly. Oh, my only one. Just like the morning sun, you'll keep on rising till the sky knows your name. And you're still my chosen one. Remember who you are. No, you're not perfect, but you're not your mistakes. Hey, 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 hey. Tell Nori about me. Tell Nori. I just want you to do me a favor. Tell Nori about me. 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 Tell Nori about me.
Coming to you live from the entertainment capital of the world, Las Vegas, Nevada. This is Needle on the Record on Blog Talk Radio. Here are your hosts, Angela T. and Angela Marie.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Angela T., and you've tuned in to Needle on the Record. Wow, what a big day. The Grammys are over. The decision has been decided. Kanye jumped on the stage again. The Grammys never disappoint. The fashion, the stars, the music, the performances. Ah, I think my favorite performance was Mr. West. And actually, both of his performances, the one he did solo for Only One, as well as the one he did with Sir Paul McCartney and Rihanna. Great performances. Would love to hear what you guys think, what you thought was the highlight of the show. If you'd like to call in, 347-633-9754. Or hit us on social media. Our Facebook page is Facebook Needle on the Rec. Our Twitter is Needle on the Rec. Give me your thoughts. I'm out here in Los Angeles. It was a big night. The after parties were off the chain. I went to Malik Yousef's after party on the Sunset Strip, and it was a great party. I really had a good time. It's an honor to be nominated. So, I mean, to be nominated for a Grammy, I ran into, did I see Anthony? I saw so many people yesterday to get it together on who was where with what. But it's fun being in Los Angeles, and I always have a good time here. Can't wait to come back and cover something else. We'll be back for sure to cover the BET experience. And, you know, speaking of BET, today we're going to have the founder, Robert L. Johnson, call in just a bit and talk to us about his history as the founder of BET, Black Entertainment Television, as well as his new venture, the Urban Movie Channel. That's right, folks. You can go to urbanmoviechannel.com and get your subscription. Urban Movie Channel carries movies, plays, original content, and I subscribed this past weekend. I had a little bit of time before I came out to Los Angeles to check out. I checked out the Sugar Hill documentary. They also carry documentaries, and I did check out the Sugar Hill Gang documentary, and it was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. It's called I Want My Name Back, and it was a lot of fun. It was a lot of fun. A lot of great content. I can't wait till I get some more downtime to enjoy Mr. Bob, we're going to do the interview today, but it's just going to be a little bit later today, so we can just talk about the Grammys. Well, Sia was interesting to me. I love performance artists, but I didn't quite understand why it was necessary to sing her heart out facing the wall. But anyway, it was one of the more interesting performances. You know what? We're going to play a song and be right back at you. You've tuned in to Needle on the Record, and we're glad you're here. Thanks so much.
Fire, you're consuming me. Since you waiting, what enough?
Program to finish funding the complete EP. She looked like a fairy princess yesterday. I did see a lot of her pictures from her publicist, Stephen Little. And hey, Angela Marie, I'm catching you in. Hey, how's it going?
It's going great. Early on a Monday morning, we need a going up on the Monday. We need that kind of thing,
Tom. Oh, my God. I'm in Los Angeles, and definitely we went up on a Sunday.
Oh,
sure.
Shit. That sounds
Grammy
dangerous.
Yeah. Yes. The Grammy parties were epic as usual. So, it's very interesting. Very interesting city. You know,
yeah, it sounds like you got it in.
Yeah, I got it. I got a few things in and on and all of that. You know, they have a Tupac Shakur exhibit at the Grammy Museum.
Get
so I hope before
out.
I get out of here. Yes, his mom sent a number of things over from the estate, from clothing, a lot of his digital underground things. I know a big part of the exhibit is his writing, a lot of his handwritten notes and notebooks, All Eyes on Me, handwritten, and just looking at process was, should be pretty freaking amazing.
Yeah, that sounds incredible. Goodness, I'm living vicariously through this adventure right now. I can't wait to see the footage. That is so epic because, you know, growing up, Tupac was like my window into the black guy's mind, honestly. Like different avenues from love to, you know, the street life and why the street life is what the street life is, the reality of the world and his reaction to it. Like he was my gateway into reality, honestly. So I would really, really, really love to see something like that. And more interestingly, I would love to see the reaction of the people born in the 90s and at the beginning of the millennium that's trying to, like, piece things together. Because now we have, you know, logo tees with Tupac's face on it, Biggie's face on it. But
yeah, there's a whole different thing now, right?
It is. It's like we do all about their life without TMZ. You know, they went on MTV and told it like it was, like straight out the bird's mouth. They said what it is. So, yeah, that's a crazy opportunity. Goodness. Now, this Grammy performance, now I'm going to keep it real as usual. I didn't see much of the Grammys last night. I did go to sleep super duper early, and just so happened to wake up in time to see Pharrell Williams' performance, which just gave me life. I adored it. It was crazy.
Did you think of a happy performance?
I thought it was wonderful. I loved the fact that as he was singing in the very beginning, it was like an acoustic singing performance. You could see him shaking. And I think that that's so admirable because that someone of Pharrell's, you know, clout of his level. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you don't get nervous anymore. And he's performing amongst his closest friends and colleagues. So it's not like, you know, he's scared or anything. But that, to me, just spoke volumes about the love and passion and what he does. And I just loved all of the different avenues that he took us on. I love the pianist. I love the choir. And
that was
and,
Lang Lang, the legendary Lang Lang, playing the piano
that
for
was so
real
dope.
Last night. I thought that was epic.
I thought that was so incredibly dope. I liked every single part of it. I even liked them bright yellow shoes. He was giving me
that
life with the bling on the gym shoes. Yes.
What did you
and
think
I like
of those
that he
white
did
gloves?
A different spin on the hat, too. He didn't do the same hat. I loved it, though, but it was still a hat.
Well, his uniform, his outfit was a outfit of an old-school bellboy. So
yeah, that's
I
exactly
he,
what it looked like, too. So
yeah, so I thought the hearkening back to the past was cute, very cute. I would love to hear the story behind it.
Yeah, I actually would too. Just it's so many things that inspire him, and I definitely have to say the pivotal high point of the whole performance for me was I guess he won an award earlier in the show, and I'm gathering this by his verbiage, but he was like, you know,
yes.
He forgot to say thank you to God, and none of this would be possible without him. So I love the fact that he just gave God the glory, and it was just about God, and then he left the stage. I was like, yes, I'm happy too. This is great.
What an epic song, though. What an epic song. What a
yes.
ride he's had with that song.
Yes.
Connecting.
It's been
with
over 2 years.
Yeah, for 2 years, connecting across the globe. I love the video movement where he did a video a day. I forget for how many days, but it's in the Guinness Book of World Records. Just him and folks dancing through the street because they're happy. And then
mm-hmm.
how it inspired people around the world to create their own version of happy in video form was just a testament to the power of music and how it truly is our international language and how we as human beings connect to one another.
Yes. I love that happy has had like so many different dimensions in my life. Like my children knew about happy because of Despicable Me 2.
Cute movie.
It is a super cute movie, but they knew about it before the hype. So by the time it was starting to, you know, get the credibility and we were starting to look at the videos, we were starting to look at the 24-hour happy videos and all this other stuff, my kids are singing note for note. So I'm like, okay, anything that makes them that happy, I like to look into. I like to be aware of whatever music they're into because, you know, they're getting older and we have like
the babies.
Yeah, it's watching them, but I like to also have jam sessions that they get to pilot. So, you know, I'm on their level. This your song? Cool. We gonna make a whole playlist of it. And just to see all the different kids and the way it just made them happy, they would get up and jump up and down like popcorn kernels. What's going on? Just springing
Absolutely.
Up from wherever their seat was. And they're so into it. I love that, and I love that it has the same effect on adults.
Absolutely. And you know, another incarnation of the happy song for me that brought me a lot of joy, and I was like, wow, look at God. How many churches and how many church choirs performed that song at church? And, you know, it was really a part of ministry. You know, every time you sing Pharrell always talked about how God gave him that song and, you know, how, you know, this is really about God. And to see so many ministries pick it up, pick a second, you know, what is considered a secular song, pick it up and bring it into the church and make it a part of the ministry, that really touched me too. So I'm sure we're leaving off about 15 other incarnations of what Happy has done in the 2 years that it's been out. But it's just so interesting to me that he won another Grammy for it this year, the live Dark Child. No, that was Sam Smith.
That was Sam Smith,
won for his Dark Child. But the live, he was nominated this year for the live version of Happy. I think that's phenomenal.
I think that they should find a way to give him an award every damn year for the rest of the Grammys moving forward, because I don't, there's not
song?
Another song out there. Like, okay, Smile, Kirk Franklin's Smile used to make me smile all the time. It still makes me feel happy, but not like Happy. Happy puts me in my 5-year-old zone. And or take it back
it
to four. That's
out
how
the child
Aiden was
everybody.
When I,
It does.
Yeah,
it does.
I got all Aiden's level when. Yes. Yes, and
now,
it makes him.
No, go ahead.
It makes my son feel like he can bust through a wall and succeed in life. And I don't know another song that does that for him.
It has that
so
kind of
he
power.
So he needs an award every year. Now,
it
what was your question?
I was going to ask, did you see any of the other performances? What did you think of Madonna? If you got a glimpse at it, did you not see it?
I didn't see Madonna's performance, but I did see Madonna's video for the song. And I think that it was smart of Madonna to wear flat shoes in the video, because she did a lot of stuff, and I'm happy that she didn't do no stunts in the big old woman heels. I don't really know how I feel about the song. I feel like it's kind of blah. For as long of a hiatus as she's had, you know, not being on the music scene, it's not like I was looking for a big kabam kaboom, but I was looking for something that is just Madonna and sang to my heart, like, yeah, this is Madonna. She does this. I felt like...
No, go ahead. You felt like...
I just felt like maybe it was a space filler song. Sorry.
I would have to agree with you. The guys with the horn mask, they kind of freaked me out.
It's like that in the video, too.
She did that in the video?
She did. It's,
I haven't seen the video.
Yeah, she's in a theater, has the red curtains. And, I mean, I kind of get the symbolism because it looks like, you know, a bull. And she's the bull runner. And, you know, she's
actually, last
him.
Night it looked like she was dodging demons to me.
Right. See, and that's why that concept is just so gray, because... you can go. Humans looking like bulls, it's never a happy rainbow situation. It's always a demonic affiliation. So I really don't know what is up with these concepts.
I don't know. I didn't get it. But I did get Kanye's performance for Only One. We started the show with Only One. I thought it was very moving. I also thought it was very hilarious that Kanye jumped up on the stage again. He was about to get with Beck, and actually he did have a rant. He didn't say it on stage, but he did go backstage and talk to Terrence J and Christina Milian and the folks over there at E, and he had about a 3-minute rant. He had plenty to say.
Kanye always says, doesn't he?
Yeah, which basically meant that he rides hard for B, and he feels like it was a slap in the face. Actually, a lot of people felt, even Beck felt a little surprised that he won that war last night. And so it was a shocker for everyone. But, I mean, it's just an honor to be nominated. Now, the controversy of the night was the performance of Selma. Lettucey, as many know, performs the Mahalia Jackson. She plays Mahalia Jackson in Selma, and she sang the song in the movie. And it is alleged that Beyonce called up Common and John Legend and asked to perform it with them at the Grammys.
Right.
With Lettucey in the building. Your thoughts on that?
I think whether Lettucey was in the building or not, that was completely disrespectful. I feel like it's singer bullying, and I feel like it's the powers that be that are putting some powerful women up against one another. I think that I'm very proud of Lettucey and the journey
and
that
answer.
She's had thus far.
I'm a huge fan. Pretty awesome too.
Yeah, she's an awesome, awesome woman, so I'm not surprised by her answer at all. But I do feel like a lot of people are like, oh, who is this Lettucey chick, even though she's been out for a long period of time. She's just now kind of making it to the popular scene. And I think that people are trying to, like, snub her out before she can really be recognized for the wonderful talent she is. I think that Beyonce, even if it was somebody else's suggestion, however this came to be, should have said no. The person that sang it on the soundtrack, which is honestly the reason why this is a hot topic, let's be real. We weren't talking about Mahalia Jackson's Precious Lord prior to the Selma project. So Lettucey did all the footwork for everyone to understand who this, you know, what this song is, who sang it, and why it's important. So for Beyonce to come out the shadows, I would say, to sing it,
especially after her performance last year. And, you know, I'm a big Beehive fan. I appreciate the Beyonce album, the visual album, as well as the rest of the project. But to have such a controversial and some would say salacious performance last year and then to be there this year, really honestly dressed as an angel, it was very interesting.
I mean, and then you have all of these different articles, right? Let me find the politician that was putting Beyonce and Jay-Z on Front Street, basically saying, like, you know, she allowing her man to pretty much pimp her in public.
Well, I thought that the performance was amazing. Selma's a great movie. I hope everyone goes out to see it. And we're going to bring in our guest today. Today we have Mr. Robert L. Johnson, the founder of BET and the creator of the new Urban Movie Channel. When I saw this product on Twitter, I was like, oh my God, I'm subscribing today. And I am going to now cut back on some of my cable services because when I saw the array of great entertainment that the Urban Movie Channel offers, I just couldn't wait to dig in. And, you know, I got the Apple TV things all over the house, so you can just throw it up on your screen, and it's just been a lot of fun. So let's welcome Mr. Robert L. Johnson to the platform.
Woo! Hello, Mr. Robert BKA Bob Johnson. How are you this morning?
Angela, I'm fine. How are things out in Vegas? One of my favorite towns.
Turned up as always.
Vegas is always turned up. Well, Mr. Johnson, welcome to Needle on the Record. We want to let you know that you have two Angelas online. There's Angela Marie and Angela T. Angela T, me, the mom. Angela Marie is the daughter. And we co-host Needle on the Record together. So she's in Vegas. I'm in L.A. I was at the Grammys last night. And, wow, what a night.
Wow, that's a heck of a combination for a mom and daughter to be hosting a show and talking about things that, from a generational perspective, must really be exciting for the viewers. That's really great. Congratulations to you guys.
Oh, wow.
Thank you so much. We try to keep it interesting. We call ourselves the new odd couple.
Yeah, that's definitely us.
Well, that's great.
Well, we're very happy to have you on for a multitude of reasons. I mean, you're a legend. I'm so excited about the Urban Movie Channel. Can you talk to our audience a little bit about the Urban Movie Channel and what it is, why it is, and people, hurry up and get your subscription. There's a 14-day free trial going on right now.
Well, I'm equally excited about it. Yeah, you better hurry up because I think that free trial is about to end. So you want to get in as quickly as possible. Angela, the thing that's exciting to me is this is what I did some 30 years ago with the launch of Black Entertainment Television. There was a technology revolution of the emergence of cable and satellite. And that allowed the distribution of BET all across the country and therefore aggregate millions of African-American households and urban households all across the country. Well, the digital revolution, as you both know, because you're obviously on digital and you understand satellite, is exactly the same thing. It opens up the door to new and innovative programming that is not controlled by the studios, not controlled by the cable system, not controlled necessarily in the case of Urban Movie Channel by advertisers because it's a subscription channel. And African-American households who want to get programming targeted their viewing interest, much like BET was when it started, can do so without having to pay as much as they're paying for other programming that really doesn't appeal to their interests. And it also gives the creative community a chance to bring their stories to the audience without having those stories edited by the studios or by advertisers or by anybody else, because the Internet, as you know, is open and free. There are no gatekeepers. And consumers can enjoy what they want to see, when they want to see it, on whatever device they have, mobile, laptop, desktop, whatever, television, through either Apple TV, Roku, or any other device. So to me, this is part of what Revolution is. It gives people more voices, gives people more diversity, and allows the urban/African-American community to tell stories that heretofore have not been told because of editorial control by old-line distributors.
Absolutely. Things like advertisers and whatnot. What I am also excited about, I mean, it's a double-sided coin of excitement for the Urban Movie Channel. Can you talk a little bit about what this is going to mean for content creators such as myself and others? What a blessing this is going to be.
Yeah, for you and others, Angela, it means you're free to produce stories and to tell stories and to deliver content without any restrictions. We are a subscriber-paid service, so that when you don't have to answer to what Procter & Gamble likes or what General Mills likes. You know, when I was at BET, we always had the question, will advertisers support this kind of programming if we put it on, if we did something that they didn't think was appropriate? Would the cable operators carry the program if they didn't like it? And or would the studios produce this movie if they didn't like it? Well, those days are gone with the Internet. Everybody can deliver their content. So what this means is that African-American creative people, both in front of the camera and behind the camera, are going to be able not only to create and tell stories that heretofore have not been told, but also be able to monetize those stories, make money off of them, because they will be delivering content to an audience that's willing to pay for what they want to receive. Right now, if you look at the facts of cable TV, African-American households pay $20 for HBO, $20 for Showtime, and most African-American households who have cable have both HBO and Showtime, so that's $40 a month. The Urban Movie Channel is $4.95 a month, and $4.95 a month targeted to African-American households, they get what they're paying for, targeted to their interest. Now, when you put that together with the 2 million African-American households that are now pay TV subscribers, we're talking about hundreds of millions of dollars that would go into the creative community to produce content and then give back to the audience programming that they want to see at a value cost that's way, way below what they're paying for those two services that really don't target their viewing interests. So it's a revolution that's come about because of the technology, but it's also a constant demand from African Americans. We want to tell our stories. We're willing to pay for our stories, and we want to watch our stories.
Absolutely. So from a business perspective, I just received news this morning that I lost one of my biggest mentors. And I it was on my question, on my list of questions to you. I just wanted to hear your perspective on the importance of mentors and folks to help you along the path.
Well, I think every child, every person, and I think your mom can attest to this, everybody grows up depending on somebody. And you know it, a child is born, but a child needs help from the moment they open their eyes. And that guidance is what directs that child into a future based on the character that they that are presented to them, the knowledge, the influence that that guides them. And so that's what a mentor does. And I mean, a mentor is by extension a parent. I mentioned by extension is an influencer. And so it is critical within the Black community that we look to people who can guide us and direct us and encourage us and give us the kind of knowledge and confidence of what you can do with that knowledge that makes all of our lives better. So, it's important that you have those people in your life, and you know you got to be responsible for yourself. A mentor can point you the way to go. A mentor can even tell you what you ought to be looking for, but you're the one that's got to take that first step. You're the one that has to be willing to make that sacrifice. You're the one that has to be willing to add that level of commitment and hard work and sacrifice to achieve your goals. So that to me is what the mix of a mentor should be. It should be a guide, but not somebody who's going to hand you something on a silver platter. You've got to work for it. And when you put that combination of a work ethic, or what my good friend who I lost several years ago, a guy named Butch Lewis, when you're willing to get in the trenches, and somebody can give you a vision, but if you're in the trenches to make that vision work, that's your contribution to what your mentor sort of provided you with. And like I said, it can be a friend, a relative, parent, or somebody who just saw something in you and believed in you. And that's most important. But ultimately, at the end of the day, it is your decision to pursue your goals.
Absolutely. Can you, what was the most difficult thing you've achieved in business, and what did it mean after you achieved it? What did it mean for you after you achieved it?
Well, I think the most difficult thing in business is to not let the business take over your entire life. You know, everybody who does something meaningful has a passion.
Mm-hmm.
And that passion is like fuel in a car. It'll get you going, but it won't tell you where to go. And so
Right. You've
got to be able to monitor that passion in a way that it takes you where you think you should be going and what you should be doing. And so to me, I think the most difficult thing in being an entrepreneur or being a creative person is you love the passion. You need that passion to inspire you, to make you a leader, to give you a vision. But if you let it take over you where you forsake some of the really important things in life, you know, caring about others' integrity, not trying to be something you're not, that can cause you problems. I think a prime example, and I feel so sorry for the guy, is the NBC News anchor, Brian Williams.
Absolutely,
for being a great news anchor, and he had the knowledge, and he even took the risk to do it. I think the challenge that he had is, you know, it's the old biblical story of Icarus. He just flew too close to the sun and not heeding the advice of his father and said, you know, don't try to be something you're not. And that's what happened to him. And that's the downfall of a lot of people is they just have everything going for them, but that desire to be something that they're not, for whatever reason, overshadows and sometimes cases destroy what they could be for themselves and for others.
Wow. What a great comment. Now, Mr. Johnson, you enjoy being an innovator in your approach to business. Can you share with us a little bit about why you enjoy being the first in a space or one of few in a space?
You know what? I don't know what that. I think part of that is being an entrepreneur. I mean, I think the definition of an entrepreneur is somebody who has a vision first, and then is able to execute on that vision before other people do. So if you start there and say somehow I got the DNA in me to be an entrepreneur, somebody who wanted to look over the next hill before anybody else does, somebody who's willing to go to the next step before somebody else does. So you start with that. And then if you're an African-American, you've got to understand that African-Americans in a white economy are, for the most part, sort of, if you believe Ralph Ellison's book, The Invisible Man, for the most part, we're invisible to the global white economy. So somehow you got to get known. Because once you get known and you prove that you can create value or create wealth in this man's economy, they tend to accord you a certain level of acceptance. From acceptance then comes respect, but at least they acknowledge that you share some of their traits. You know how to make money, for example. And that is what you want to do. So if you want to build on that connection and deal with the white business community, those who have the same values that you do and care about achieving wealth in a diversity sense, then you want to brand yourself. And the way you brand yourself is you try to become first. I mean, all of us, both Angela and Angela, you guys know we used to look at the Ebony magazine, a Jet, and we'd see, oh, the first black doctor at this hospital, the first black person to be elected to Congress. It was always that first. So that second, third, or fourth, fifth black who integrated a school, you hardly ever knew who they were. Or that first black lawyer who, you know, got a big job at a big firm, you didn't know about the second or the third. And if you didn't know, black people didn't know, you can be darn sure the white people didn't know. So part of building a brand and part of competing in this society of where most of the wealth in this country is controlled by white Americans, you have to build a brand of achievement. So, yeah, it was important for me to be the first one to start Black Entertainment Television and then take it public as the first African-American company publicly traded on the New York Stock Exchange, because the New York Stock Exchange is sort of the symbol of white corporate economic wealth generation. So if you imagine a black person can get there, then all of a sudden you're noticeable. And then you go from there, and you're the first African-American to own an NBA franchise, another noticeable factor. And you become the first African-American to create millionaires in your business. All of these things play into that sort of how do you compete in this economy that's dominated by a white economic power structure. And you got to fight your way into that. You got to work your way into that. You got to show the integrity and the character and the transparency to be successful in that. But that's part of what drives an entrepreneur, not only to be first because that's what your DNA, your vision said, but also to brand yourself as somebody who can compete in a now not only a U.S. economic society, but a global economic structure.
Well, we want to be the first family to host a talk show, so that's our goal. We're working on that.
Well, I think you guys are there. I mean, if this is not a talk show, I don't know what it is. And if you can keep claiming people to come on and answer the very probing questions that you've asked me today, I think you're 90% there. And so you just need to keep pushing it, and I appreciate everything you said about the Urban Movie Channel. I appreciate this opportunity to share this time with you.
Well, appreciate you coming on, and thank you so much. I'm already a subscriber to the Urban Movie Channel. I hopefully will get some downtime sometime soon. I did get to see one documentary, The Sugar Hill Gang, I Want My Name Back, which was very interesting. I had no idea. It's one of the reasons why I love documentaries so much. But I can't wait to see what's next. And I'll be sending in my content proposal ASAP.
Yeah, well, we're going to keep, to all your listeners, we're going to keep getting better. We're getting a lot of library stuff for programs that I'm sure people want to see, like the Sugar Hill Gang and other programs. And we're going to create new content, original content for the channel. This is a unique, I would call it a marriage, except that there are three people in the marriage, so I don't know what you call it when three people get married, but it's the creative community. It's the business distribution that we bring, and most important is the audience that provides the support in terms of paying to watch what they want to watch and not be controlled by what other people say. You got to watch this because otherwise there's nothing else for you to watch. So, you know, Urban Movie Channel, the Internet, offers you the freedom to make your own choices, and there's nothing more important than freedom of choice.
Now, we are going to share the link on the Needle on the Record Facebook page and our Twitters, our social media stuff. So, people, listen up. There will be a link for the Urban Movie Channel on our social media sites. This is, the wrap-up time for the 14 days, the risk-free 14-day trial-free period. So make sure you take advantage. I am a new client, a new customer, and I can't wait to tell y'all what I watch. Y'all know I don't get a chance to watch a whole lot of TV, but I bet you I make time because now there is content for stuff that I actually want to see, which is honestly the reason why I stopped watching TV for the last year and a half. I feel like it's a lot of stuff on TV that I ain't got time for that. I don't want to see it. I'm not interested in it. So this is epic. I'm so excited. Mr. Johnson, is it possible for you to give our listeners your social media information, please?
You know what? I'm still in the 20th century. I'm not sure what that means. I don't have an email, so I don't either. I don't have a Twitter page or a Facebook, but I am certainly visible in RLJ companies. So we do have a website. I will say that. So
yes,
if you want
let's
to track
get that.
Me down, just go to rljcompanies.com. Companies.
Can you spell that for us, please?
The company CompanIES. Right. So
okay.
You know, I almost said I didn't have email. I almost said I had a Rolodex, so you can show where I am. But anyway, I can be found.
All right. Well,
okay.
We are going to look, and you will get some new subscribers. I am so excited about this Urban Movie Channel. Thank you so much for gracing our show.
All right,
well,
you have a good trip back to whichever one of you is flying from L.A. back to Vegas. Have a good trip. And the Angela that's in Vegas, I'll see you at the blackjack table.
All right, now.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Johnson.
Take care.
Have a great day.
All right. Bye-bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Wow.
Yeah, history, okay? The Angelas are making history. OMG.
Yeah.
That was,
well,
yeah, like everything.
That was amazing. Before I sign off, I did briefly mention with Mr. Johnson that I lost my mentor today, Mr. Sam Smith, and I want to dedicate this show to him because he was a great man. He was an innovator and a real lover of people. I'm not going to break down, but I just wanted to say how much I loved him and how much I respected him and how much I appreciated him loving on me, seeing things in me that I didn't even see in myself most of the time, always staying on me, keep writing, keep being a great journalist. He enjoyed my work. He encouraged me to do more. He encouraged me to be in the community and help other young people come up, as he would say. And every Friday, I co-host a luncheon called The Gathering. And those of you who listen to me on my other podcast, Our Own Voices Live, we talk about The Gathering quite a bit there. That would not exist if it weren't for Mr. Sam Smith sowing a seed and Rodney and my friend Alex Cherub, and them, all three of them, grabbing me and sowing a seed in me and saying, you must do this. It is imperative that every week you get together and you meet somebody that you didn't know before. And so we do every week. We do The Gathering. But I just want to say rest in peace, Sam Smith. So many people are hurt today, but happy that you are with the Lord and that you're at peace and will never, ever, ever, ever let your spirit, your memory, and your work die. Sam was responsible for getting more African Americans hired to the fire service in Nevada than anyone. He ran a free class to help people learn how to learn the things they needed to know to pass the test to become firemen and firewomen. He has chiefs as fire chiefs. He's the youngest black police officer for the city of New York. So many great things. I do something. I do a math problem a day because of Sam. It's so many new habits that I've formed that have enriched my life because of Sam, and I'm going to miss him. He was like another grandfather to me. I'm going to miss him. I'm going to miss being able to call them up. I'm going to miss being able to go over to the academy and see him on a daily basis a lot of times. And I just wanted to dedicate this show to him. So
yes,
thanks
rest
for
in peace.
Listening, ladies and gentlemen, and we're gonna sign off with the song "Let's Do Common." Nobody smiling. What do you think, Angela? Is that a good one?
I think that's kind of somber. Let's look and see. Let's do something more festive for Mr. Smith because he was fantastic.
He was a happy person. That's true.
All the time. We could do Hold Up, Wait a Minute. Why not?
I just did
Hold
it.
Up, Wait a Minute. He ain't gone. His flesh is not here, but his spirit is with us for the rest of our days, and I'm very grateful to have had the honor of knowing Mr. Sam Smith. So thank you, and we are holding up and waiting a minute in your honor. It is a party all the time when we think of you and your beautiful, beautiful memory. Rest in peace, Sam Smith.